morning. It's good to see everyone this morning. I apologize for my voice. That's what you get when you try to rake leaves and chop leaves. You get allergies. So I apologize for that, but we'll try to get through the lesson. It's good to see everyone this morning. I'm sorrowful over the circumstances that bring some of us together with the loss of their loved ones, but it certainly is good to see you, and I hope that our time spent in singing and praying and studying God's Word will strengthen and encourage us. Just like Isaiah said, the everlasting God will renew our strength. And as we go through those times in our life where we feel weak and we feel powerless, God can help us through those times in our life. If you'll turn with me this morning to 1 Kings chapter 17, in just a moment, we want to look at that story there of Elijah and the widow at Zarephath. 1 Kings chapter 17. As you're turning over there, you might relate in your life, as I do in mine, that there were circumstances growing up in which maybe we had a plan that we wanted to do something, but then someone came along and said, well, before you do that, you have to do this first. I remember sitting down at the table often, and Dad always had to have dessert. He always wanted Mom to make a dessert. So it was always sitting over there on the side, and we would sit down to eat, and I wanted the dessert. I wanted to go ahead and get in on the pie or the cake. And Mom and Dad would always say, well, you've got to eat your vegetables first. So you do that, and you go through that situation, and then you get your dessert. I remember being at school. I wanted to go play at recess, but the teacher said, well, you got to do your homework first. And on Saturday morning when I would get up, I wanted to go into the living room and turn the TV on and watch cartoons. And Dad would say, well, you got to take the garbage out first. You got to do your chores first. A lot of times we have in our mind where we would like to do something, and we might be excited about that, or we might have our heart set on doing that. And the Lord comes along and says, well, I want you to do something else first. And that becomes a test of faith for us. And so we're going to see this morning when we look at 1 Kings chapter 17, we're going to see a widow living here. And the Lord is going to test her faith. And we're going to find that she has that faith that she needs. And I hope that we can learn some lessons from that. In a lesson that I've entitled, These Tests of Faith, and where Elijah says to her, but first make me a little cake. When you're reading in 1 Kings chapter 17, if you go back to the last few verses of chapter 16, you'll find that this is a very dark period for Israel's history. You'll find that Ahab is the king, and he and his wife are influencing Israel in a very immoral kind of way. Chapter 16 and verse 32, that they went and served Baal and worshipped him. And we know that Baal worship and that immorality associated with that became prevalent in the northern kingdom of Israel. And so it's a very dark spiritual period for this nation. And at this time, look at chapter 17, verse 1. Elijah comes on the scene. This is the first time that we're introduced to him. And Elijah really plays a role from this chapter all the way through the end of the book, in the first couple of chapters of 2 Kings, to combat this Baalism, this worship of a false god. And so we find that Elijah is going to announce that there's going to be a famine in the land. And we know from James chapter 5, if you look at what James says that Elijah prayed that it wouldn't rain for 3 years and 6 months. Elijah is announcing that God, the one true God, is going to bring a drought. He is in control. Look at chapter 17 and verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the sojourners of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as Jehovah the God of Israel liveth, behold whom, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. About 3 years and 6 months. So when you go from chapter 17 and verse 1 to the end of chapter 18, if you turn over to chapter 18 and verse 41, Elijah prays again and it starts to rain again. So we know from chapter 17 and verse 1 to the end of chapter 18, that's going to be about 3 years and 6 months. What is this? This is not Elijah just being mean. This is not Elijah because he can have a great term with God, just cause people to suffer. This is a confrontation against Israel, who is being punished for their sins, their idolatrous immorality. If you look, for example, back at Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 19, God promised long before that if you turn away your ear from the law, one of the things I'm going to do is cause it not to rain. In fact, that was mentioned even a few hundred years before this story in Solomon. When Solomon dedicated the temple in 1 Kings 8 and verse 35, he brought this up again. He said, if you turn your ears away from the law, God is going to cause it not to rain. That's what this is. It's punishment for Israel's sins. And it's also a direct affront and attack on the false god Baal. Baal, among the Canaanite gods, was not just any god. He was the god of rain. And so to make it not rain is basically saying your God is not the one true God. Baal was a storm god. Baal was in charge among the Canaanite belief. He was in charge of the one who brings rain. But it's not going to rain for 3 years and 6 months. And that's going to show them that they're just worshiping a false god who doesn't exist. Notice the words out of Elijah's mouth in chapter 17 and verse 1. Jehovah, the God of Israel, liveth. There's a living God, a true God, and there's a false God that is dead. And number one, we're going to prove that through a drought. Your God will not be able to cause it to rain. He does not exist. And number two, we're going to do that because you've turned your ears away from the law. That's the setting for this morning's lesson with Elijah and the widow at Zarephath. And that's what we want to look at this morning. Now start reading with me in verse 2. What we're going to find is that during this drought, God is going to take care of Elijah and others. Verse 2. The word of Jehovah came unto him saying, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before the Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of Jehovah, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before the Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. First of all, God is going to command, verse 4, the ravens to help him. Then we're going to find in verse 9 that God is going to command a widow to help him. And it's when we get to this story of the widow of Zarephath that we're going to learn some lessons this morning about faith in God. And hopefully that can give us an admonition to live right in His sight. This is the story that Jesus references in Luke chapter 4. You may recall that he said there that a prophet is not without honor except in his own country. And then he gives two illustrations of that. How that Elijah went to the widow of Zarephath, and then how Elisha healed Naaman. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we had a lesson on Naaman. And I wanted to come back around and get that second story this morning with Elijah and the widow of Zarephath. And what Jesus is saying there is that there were times when God's prophets were speaking to their own people and they didn't want it. But when they would go outside and speak to a Gentile, a foreigner, they wanted it. And so Elisha did that with Naaman, and Elijah is going to do that with this widow at Zarephath. Ahab doesn't want it. Jezebel doesn't want it. Many of the Israelites in the northern kingdom of Israel, they don't want the word of God. But when Elijah goes to this widow of Zarephath up near Sidon, outside of Israel, she's going to believe and she's going to trust and she's going to obey. And so Jesus uses that as two illustrations of his own ministry, how that often he came to his own and his own did not receive him. But he would go speak to those others who would. And of course, the Jews in the synagogue there in Luke 4, they didn't like that comment and they want to take him to the brow of the hill and throw him over, and he goes out of their midst. What we're going to see this morning, brethren and friends, is that this widow's faith is going to be challenged and tested, just like our faith is challenged and tested with the things that come up in our life from time to time. But let us have that faith in that everlasting God that we read about in Isaiah chapter 40. He will renew our strength. Let's keep reading now in verse 8. After Elijah is miraculously taken care of by these ravens, let's see how he's taken care of by the faith of this widow. Verse 8, and the word of Jehovah came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Sidon, about 10 miles south of Sidon, on the coast of the Mediterranean. Dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow, just like he had commanded the ravens, I have commanded a widow there to sustain thee. And we're going to see how that took place through faith, through tests of faith. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, As Jehovah thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in the jar and a little oil in the cruse. And behold, I am gathering 2 sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first and bring it forth unto me, and afterward make for thee and for thy son. For thus says Jehovah, the God of Israel, the jar of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that Jehovah sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. The jar of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of Jehovah, which he spake by Elijah. Now, you may remember the rest of the story in verses 17 through 24. Her son dies. He falls sick and dies, and Elijah brings him back to life. And she's appreciative of that. Verse 24, Now I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of Jehovah in thy mouth is true. And that is a comforting thought for us this morning. Everything God speaks is true. And we can stand on those promises like we just sang. Verse 14, if you go and do this, the jar of meal shall not waste. That's a promise, and you can stand on that promise. So let's see this morning the challenges of faith in this woman for our admonition this morning. Come back with me to verses 8 through 12 and notice, first of all, this morning that it took great faith to grant a request from a stranger in difficult times. This is a widow who's lost her husband. And number 2, it's a difficult period of time where there is a drought and there is not much to eat. And she's out foraging for some sticks now to make a meal. I don't think we've ever had to do that in our life. That it's been so bad that you're out looking for a couple of sticks to make a fire to cook your bread. This is a difficult time. And to have a stranger come up to you and say, Let me have some of that meal so that I can have something to eat. That really is sort of a request that we would not want to grant. It took faith on her part to do this. And so the scripture reading this morning is that this is a period of time where someone is faint. This is a period of time where someone is under difficult and dire circumstances. And that is the very moment in which the Lord comes along. To him that hath no might, he increases strength, our scripture reading said. It's at that very moment that he steps in and gives us help. If we'll have faith and if we'll obey His word and if we'll be true to Him, He will be with us during those periods of time. They that wait for Jehovah shall renew their strength. And when that meal is miraculously provided and that oil is miraculously provided, we're eating well now. Our strength is being renewed, but it came after putting faith in God's word. We will mount up with wings as eagles. We will run, not be wearied, walk and not faint. This is a faint time for her. Notice in the text that she says in verse 12 that I'm out here trying to gather. She says, two sticks, two. You break them up, you try to build a little fire, you make something to eat. And she says, when we get done eating this, we're going to die. That's how dire it was for her. And I don't believe she was exaggerating. Probably what happened is that because of the drought, surrounding areas that do business with Israel are going to suffer as well. When one country is suffering, the bordering nations that trade with them suffer. She doesn't have the food that she once had because Israel doesn't have the food that it once had. And this is a dire period of time. And I just want to make something to eat and then we're going to die. And it's at that very moment that God steps in and renews her strength. And it takes faith. She didn't know Elijah. This was not a close friend of hers. It's a request out of the blue to let me have some of your food, the very little food that I have. Let me have some of that so I can have something to eat. And she trusts in that word. When we find ourselves faint, and when we find ourselves in need of strength renewal, the everlasting God can do that if we'll follow His word. Come with me to verse 13. It takes faith to do what Elijah said. To fear not. You see this a lot in Scripture. I was looking at this in preparation for this lesson. About 70 times in the Word of God we have this expression, fear not. And the majority of them are from God Himself. When He's calling upon us to step out in faith and do something that is contrary to what we might think, don't fear. The fear would be, well, wait a minute, if I share my food, I'm not going to have enough for me and my son to eat. I don't want to do this. This is something that is asking too much for me. I don't know if this man is telling the truth and that type of thing. And so obviously, a lot of times in Scripture, God goes ahead and just tells us up front, fear not. Because He knows that this is going to be a challenging command or test. It took faith, it took trust and confidence to do what Elijah asked her to do. Make me a little cake first. Wow, I don't know about that. I barely have enough for myself and my son. And there are things that God asks us to do. And our first situation might be fear. I don't know if this is right. I don't know if this is going to work. In Luke chapter 8, with regard to the ruler of the synagogue and healing her daughter, Jesus, hearing it, answered, fear not, only believe and she shall be made whole. Faith, and we're going to see that faith is active in just a moment. But faith, trust, confidence, and put out fear. Well, I need to be baptized, but then fear steps in. No, fear not. I need to come back to the Lord, but then such and such might have. Well, don't fear that. And being faithful as a Christian each day at work and at school and out in the community, there are things that challenge us. And maybe we don't want to be faithful to the Lord because we fear what somebody might say or do or think. It took great faith and trust and confidence to go and do. Fear not, go and do. You go do what you want to do, but first I want you to make me a little cake. And you can see where the fear would set in. I'm not going to have enough to eat or my son if I do that. But she trusted in His Word. She's viewing it as the Word of God. And we know from verse 16 that this is the Word of the Lord which He spake by Elijah. These things that Elijah is saying, the Lord is saying. The Lord is asking this of her. The Lord is testing and challenging her. And she's following along with the test, and she's passing each one. Fear not. Just simply do what God wants us to do. Don't fear what others are going to think or say or do or feel, but just simply do what God wants us to do. That takes great faith, and we learn that from this lady. Look at verse 13 again. Elijah says, "Fear not, and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it forth unto me, and afterward make for thee and for thy son." It took great faith to do the little that it was in her ability to do. Do you know that God never asks us more than what we can do? God never asks us to do things that we cannot do. He never sets the bar so high that we cannot attain that. He does not give us commands that are unreachable. His commands are not burdensome. His commands are not grievous. 1 John 5, verse 3. One thing she could do is still make a little cake. A lot of times we think that the New Testament scriptures are unattainable. The goal is too high. The bar is too high. And when it talks with us about how we're supposed to talk and dress and think and act, we sometimes say, well, that's noble but not achievable. It's achievable. It's what God wants us to do. And He's always going to tell us what is within our realm and might and energy and talent and ability to do. His commandments are not grievous. This is a dire situation for this woman, but she could still make a little cake. What about us? You look at the things that God asks us to do, and some of them are challenging, but they're within our realm to do them. Let's be busy doing what God wants us to do. Look at verse 13. Elijah said, "Make me a little cake first, and afterward you go make some for yourself and your son." Doesn't that sound a little selfish? It took faith to put this request first. Doesn't that seem a little unreasonable for Elijah to come up to a poor little widow woman and say, "You take care of me first"? Doesn't that seem a little harsh? Doesn't that seem a little selfish? Doesn't that seem a little unreasonable? Absolutely. We would say today, "Elijah, you are way out of line." To go up to this woman who's in a dire situation, and she has very little. She's got two sticks now, and she's going to go home. And you say to her, "You do this first, and afterward you go do this." That's the whole point, brethren. God is seen if we will follow Him first. It may seem unreasonable, but it's not up to what somebody seems or doesn't seem. It's what God is asking us to do. And so there are times in our life, even when we're down, when the kingdom must come first. And so Jesus in Matthew 6 in verse 33 says, "Put the kingdom first, and all these things, the food, shelter, and the clothing, and those types of things will be added unto you." God will take care of us. And He took care of this woman. Not only did they have enough to eat on this occasion, but just miraculously had plenty to eat thereafter. God will take care of us when we put Him first. It may seem unreasonable. It may seem a little harsh. It may seem selfish. But God wants to see if we will obey Him and follow Him, even in difficult times. And so our Bible study and our attendance and other ways in which we serve God first, always. And when you think about what God has done for us, we can certainly do that. It's not a selfish God up in heaven who's egocentric and stuck on Himself and doesn't have anything better to do than order people around and make them, you know, treat Him first. No, God loves the world. He has sacrificed greatly for us. His love and mercy and grace. And in providing Jesus on the cross, He's simply asking us to be completely devoted to Him. And first shows that. Priority shows that. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 37. When Jesus sent out the 12 and told them about different people that they would face, they're going to be preaching the Word of God to others, and even close relatives and family and close friends, God's Word must come first. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. We've got to put the Lord first. And it took faith to do that. I think the immediate thought would have been, there is no way I'm going to do this. This complete stranger comes out of the blue. I'm just trying to take care of myself and my son with what little I have. And now he's asking me to make him something first before we feed ourselves. It runs contrary to all human reasoning. And yet, isn't that much of God's Word? Looked at from a human standpoint, that's why Paul says that the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. And they consider the gospel foolish. Much of what we're trying to be as a Christian is ridiculous to the world. But it's the very thing that God wants us to do. You may go through the New Testament and find some things where God is calling upon you to do something first. Understand that that is a test of faith. And let's do that, and we'll be greatly rewarded for it. In verse 13, Elijah says, "But make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it forth unto me, and afterward make for thee and for thy son." You know, when I read this statement, I see that it takes great faith to sacrifice this little that she has. She has very little, and now she's being called upon to cut into that and take some of that and even sacrifice more. It reminds me of another widow, this time in the New Testament. And isn't it interesting that the widow ladies are the noble ones? The ones that are teaching us great lessons. Ones whose husbands have been taken away from them and other things have been taken away from them. But they're the very epitome of sacrifice and service. And so we remember this widow who came and put her two mites in, her just two little coins. And Jesus said she gave more than what those other people were putting in. They were putting in of their excess. And she put in of her want. She just gave all that she had. So here is a lady and her son. It's a terrible circumstance. There's a drought in the land. And she's out foraging for a couple of sticks to make a little fire and what little meal, corn or flour. Mix some oil in with that. I'm going to make a little thing. My son and I are going to eat it and we're going to die. And this prophet of God is saying, no, take from that and give even more. It takes great faith. That's why Jesus brings up Elijah and the widow of Zarephath. Here's a Gentile lady. Someone that the Israelite would have just dismissed as well an unbeliever, and she is the believer. Can we have that? Can we sacrifice all of the little that we have and not be selfish, even in time of need? Always putting God first, even in difficult times and in times of need, always putting God first. And He'll be there for us. He will renew our strength. He will reward us. Let's close this morning by looking at verses 14 through 16. And let's look at some genuine faith. Faith is, the word faith is like the word love or the word church. It's so watered down today that many people don't even realize what it is anymore. What is genuine faith? Well, look at verse 14. Genuine faith is rewarded by God. Elijah says, if you'll do this, the jar of meal shall not waste, and the cruse of oil will not go away. And that's exactly what happened in verse 16. It didn't fail. Every time she went into her little room there where the meal was and she dipped into it, you can just almost see the picture. She's getting down to the bottom, and when she comes for the next, oh, that's filled back up again. Genuine faith is always rewarded. And when we go through those difficult times and we stay faithful to God and we give Him the last little bit first and all of that, there will always be that reward. Back in Matthew chapter 10, come down with me to verse 41, where Jesus had said about putting Him first, even before family. Come down with me to chapter 10 and verse 41. And I think of this story when I read this verse. He that receives a prophet, and she received Elijah into her home. He that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And she certainly got that. We're rewarded. Genuine faith is always rewarded by God. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Genuine faith is always rewarded. When we put our faith in God, Hebrews 11 verse 6, we must believe that He is and that He is the rewarder of them that seek Him. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 20, when we lay up treasures in heaven, we're going to be rewarded one day for that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6, when we give lovingly and cheerfully and we sow bountifully, we will reap bountifully. And in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 19, we lay up for ourselves those treasures in heaven, Matthew chapter 6. When we do that, we're laying up for that time to come when we will be rewarded. Laying up in store, like a heavenly bank account for themselves, a good foundation against the time to come that they may lay hold on the life which is life indeed. You're making deposits into your spiritual heavenly bank account. And I believe that that reward is not just spiritual. Answered prayer, forgiveness of sins, a church family like Jeff talked about. I believe it's also physical. I'm not going to be the 1980s televangelist where it was popular back then to stand up and preach the gospel of health and wealth. And if you come put in the plate, then God's going to give you a new Corvette. I'm not going to do that. But I will reference one of the Psalms who said, I've never seen the righteous begging bread. He'll take care of us. And that's what, in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is saying, the food, shelter, and the clothing. God clothes the flowers of the field. He'll clothe you. He'll take care of you. Genuine faith is always rewarded by God. And look at chapter 17 and verse 15. She went and did according to the saying of Elijah. Genuine faith is always obedient. Genuine faith is always obedient, not reasoning away the request or excusing away the request, but just simply doing what God wants us to do. She could have reasoned that whole thing away by saying, I don't know this guy. Number two, I've got just a little bit left. I need to use it. It would make more sense that God would want me to take care of my son in our dying days. All of those types of things. But she didn't do any of that. She just simply did what Elijah told her to do. And when she did it, immediately they had plenty to eat and many days thereafter. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 11, a work of faith. In James chapter 2, 17 through 26, faith works. And we show others our faith by our works. And in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 19, Jesus knew of the brethren. He knew of their faith and their works. They go hand in hand. Genuine faith is never just mental assent. It's never just giving a mental thought to what God wants me to do. I'm going to get up and I'm going to do that. It might be getting up and being baptized for the first time. It might be getting up and doing anything that the Lord wants us to do. But that is genuine faith. And when she did it, she was completely rewarded. You've got to step out of your comfort zone. I'll tell you, if I had a little bit of food, enough for myself and my son, and somebody else is asking for half of that or a portion of that, it would take a lot to step out and do it. And if we will, there are things in God's Word where we have to step out of our comfort zone and do what He wants us to do. And if it's God's Word, if it's in the Scripture, we have that promise that it will come true. And then last of all, genuine faith was found within a Gentile. And you look at who this woman is. She's a Gentile and she is right in the homeland and the heartland of Jezebel. Look at chapter 17 and verse 9. Go to Zarephath, which belongeth to Sidon. Now come back with me to chapter 16 with regard to this area. Chapter 16, verse 31. It came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for Ahab to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ithbaal. See that Baal there? Baal? Ithbaal, king of the Sidonians, and went and served Baal. This is the homeland of Baal worship. And in the midst of an immoral Baal worship, where the queen's father is the king of this area, his name has Baal in it, this lady is going to do what the true God says. Genuine faith was found within a Gentile in an unlikely place of Jezebel's homeland. And so what that tells me is, Acts 8 verse 4, the Christians went everywhere preaching the word. We've got to talk with our friends and neighbors because there's going to be faith there. It may be in an unlikely place. We might think because of their economic status or social status or racial status or educational status, we might write them off and say, well, you know, I don't really think that they would obey. That's the very place sometimes that people do obey. And so we must always take the gospel to them. How many times we study that in our adult class this morning with regard to the centurion and so forth. Faith is found in unlikely places. And so we need to keep taking the gospel to those places. And give them a chance. Right in the homeland of Jezebel, we've got this lady putting her faith in God and saying at the end of the story, now I know that thou art a man of God and that the word of Jehovah in thy mouth is truth. The Israelites wouldn't even say that. But this Gentile widow lady did. And so let's give folks around us that chance through our personal work, through trying to set up Bible studies and inviting folks to church services. Don't judge them on the outward appearance of, well, I just don't think that they would be a candidate for becoming a Christian. Give them that opportunity. When you saw this widow lady in the homeland of Jezebel, you might have thought there is no way she's going to put her faith in God, and yet she does. Let's give everyone that opportunity. Are you here this morning needing to respond to the gospel? Step out. It's a challenge of faith. Put God first this morning. Think of God. Think of God's Word. Put Him first. Obey, and you'll be greatly rewarded for it. And if we're in a period of time in our life where we need that renewed strength and zeal, here's a lady that's come down to her last meal. Through faith in God and obedience to His Word, she was rewarded for that. And her strength was renewed. And it will be for us today. I hope that this lesson has helped us to see that sometimes God challenges our faith. Let's meet those challenges this morning in obedience. And if we can help you to do that, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?